In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. I want to remember Joseph's dream that his brothers and his mother and father would bow down to him. That was the interpretation of the dream, and how the brothers sold him into slavery, and how he went to Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's house prospered, and because Joseph had the favor of God. But then Potiphar's wife said he tried to seduce her, which is a lie, and he was sent to the king's jail, the Pharaoh's jail, and he interprets two dreams, and now the Pharaoh has a dream, and they're looking for someone to interpret it. And the dream was very simple, that there were seven cows, big and fat, and seven sheaves of wheat, big and fat, and there were seven for each. And then the next part of the dream is there were skinny cows that ate the big cows, and the rotten wheat ate the beautiful wheat. So Joseph interprets the whole thing saying, there's going to be 7 years of plenty. And during those years of plenty, we are to save the wheat and save things so that we can have enough for the 7 years of want. Remember, Joseph interpreted the dream because of the Lord. It is God who did this through Joseph. Joseph has the favor of God, let me tell you, even in prison. I'm telling you, you might be accused of something that you did not even do, but you have the favor of God on you. And that favor will open doors. It will open doors. It will open doors. I just received three letters, really. One was a telephone call, one was in the newspaper, and one came with a invitation to an ordination. Within 2 days or 3 days, I heard from three people who are going to be priests how God has used me in their vocation. Now, I'm not looking for that, and I'm just saying, I wonder if I was in Death Valley while I said these things to them. But you know what? No, you can't make these things up. I have the favor of God, even when I feel like, what? A penny waiting for change. I have the favor of God, and I don't want to lose that favor. I don't want to lose that favor because you know why? Everybody doesn't have the favor of God, and it's not for me. That favor of God is for you. I do not do these broadcasts because I'm doing them for me. I'm doing them for you and for me, that you would be able to know that things are going to be all right. So we look at the 42nd chapter of Genesis, Jacob hearing that food was sold in Egypt, said to his sons, "Why are you careless? I have heard that wheat is sold in Egypt. Go down and buy us necessities, that we may live and not be consumed with want." Remember, there was a famine over the whole world, but Joseph saved the day. God saved the day through Joseph. So the 10 brethren of Joseph went down to buy corn in Egypt. While Benjamin was kept at home, he's the little one, he's the last one, by Jacob, who said to his brethren, lest perhaps he take any harm on the journey. So the father is being protective of this little child. The father is being protective. He had two favorites, and the favorite was Joseph and Benjamin. And Joseph, he thinks, is dead. And Joseph was the governor in the land of Egypt, and corn was sold by his direction to the people. And when his brethren had bowed down to him, he knew them. He spoke as if they were strangers, somewhat roughly, asking them, "Where do you come from?" They answered, "From the land of Canaan." "Why are you here?" "To buy necessities of life." And though he knew his brethren, he was not known by them. They didn't know that it was their brother. They think their brother is dead. Or they think their brother is some kind of a slave sold to the Midianites. But Joseph knows who these 10 guys are. These are his brothers. And imagine they bow down to him as the governor. I tell you, the favor of God was on Joseph. And remembering the dreams which formerly he had dreamed, he said to them, "You are spies. You have come here to view the weaker parts of Egypt, of the land." But they said, "It is not so, my lord, but your servants have come to buy food. We are all the sons of one man. We have come as peaceable men. Neither do thy servants go about doing any evil." And he answered them, "It is otherwise. You have come here to consider the unfenced parts of the land." But they said, "We, your servants, are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. The youngest is with our father. The other is not living." Joseph is listening to this. Joseph is listening to this, you know, and he can barely keep it straight in his own mind, in his own heart, without just collapsing in prayer and crying. He said, "This is it. This I said, you are spies. I shall now presently try what you are. By the health of Pharaoh, you shall not depart here until your youngest brother comes, until Benjamin comes. Send one of you to fetch him, and you shall be in prison till what you have said be proved, whether it be true or false, or else by the health of Pharaoh, you are spies." So anyway, what he does is said, "I want to see Benjamin. I want Benjamin here too. I want to know if what you're saying is real." Of course he knows it's real. This is Joseph. Joseph who has the favor of God. Let me tell you, if you have the favor of God, you will do the lending and not the borrowing. If you have the favor of God, you will be the head and not the tail. Even if you make yourself the tail, God would bring you to the head. If you have the favor of God, I'm not telling you it's very easy. It is not easy because the enemy wants to steal that favor and wants you in prison. Not necessarily a real prison, but in the prison of yourself. Oh yes, let me tell you, that's what the enemy wants. That the favor of God, that people who have the favor of God would be in the prison of themselves and that they would do nothing, that the prophetic word spoken over them would not come about, that they would end up just pathetic. This is what the enemy wants to do. So he put them in prison for 3 days. And the third day he brought them out of prison and said, "Do as I have said, and you shall live, for I fear God. If you be peaceable men, let one of your brethren be bound in prison, and you go your way and carry the corn that you have bought into your houses, and bring your youngest brother to me, and I may find your words to be true, and you may not die." They did as he had said. So he's saying, I'm going to keep one of the brothers. I'm going to put him in jail. But I want the other 9 to go with the food and bring back the youngest child. Bring back Benjamin. Bring your youngest brother to me that I may find your words to be true and you may not die. They did as he had said. And they talked one to another, "We deserve to suffer these things because we have sinned against our brother," against Joseph, "seeing the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this affliction come upon us." In other words, what we have sown, this is what we're going to reap. We sowed the giving up Joseph to the Amalekites, and we are now reaping what we have done to our brother. We were jealous of our brother. We know that There was only one that really wanted his brother to live. It was Reuben. It was Reuben. Reuben went back and tried to find him, but he was gone by the time he went back. And they talked to one another. We deserve to suffer these things because we have sinned against our brother, against Joseph. Seeing the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear, therefore is this affliction come upon us. What you sow is what you reap. But you know what? God is going to work it all out for the good. God is going to work it all out for the good. God's hand is on this, and the prophetic words that Joseph had, they were going to come about. But let me tell you, between promise and fulfillment, there is temptation. There is temptation. There is temptation. Joseph was in the prison of Potiphar. Joseph was in the prison of the Pharaoh. But God's favor was always with him. Joseph had the dream of the 11 sheaves of wheat bowing down to him, and the sun and the moon bowing down to him. That was mother and father. Let me tell you, that was the dream that really was the prophetic dream that God is going to make come true. But it doesn't come true in a day. It doesn't come true in a year. It is a promise. It waits the fulfillment. And you might be in the promise of God, and you await the fulfillment. The fulfillment will come, but you must keep your heads about you. You must believe that God will fulfill what he has said. You must believe that God will fulfill what he has said, even though now it seems like you're in jail, even though now it seems like you haven't got anything good to give to the Lord. But if God promised it, he will fulfill it. But between promise and fulfillment, it's like being on a trapeze. You're between two trapezes, and you're waiting for the other trapeze to come so you can clutch it. I'm telling you, it's not easy. It's not easy when God gives a promise. It's not easy to keep on keeping on, because it seems like the promise dies. It seems like the promise dies. And you know what? Joseph was always faithful in the jails that he was at. The favor of God was with him even in jail. And Reuben, one of them, said, "Did not I say to you, do not sin against the boy, and you would not hear me? Behold, his blood is required." Reuben knows that this is happening because what they did to Joseph, they sold him into slavery. And they knew not that Joseph understood, because he spoke to them by an interpreter. So Joseph is pretending he does not understand his brothers, only through an interpreter. And he turned himself away a little while and wept, and returned, he spoke to them. He started weeping. He started weeping. Oh, my Lord, the Spirit of God was upon him, but he can't let them know. He can't let them know that it's Joseph yet. He can't let them know. But he starts weeping that this is what the brothers did, but God has a better idea. Can I just say that again? God has a better idea. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even though it seems that there is no idea, even though you are bereft, God has a better idea. Jesus has a better idea. Hear the word of God from the man of God. He has a better idea. I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. Yes, plans to give you a future and a hope. When you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me with you, says the Lord. Do you understand? God has plans for you. And maybe you're in jail, you know, figuratively, or even really, you're in jail. You say, how can these plans come about? God knows how to do it. Jesus knows how to do it. He is the Lord. He gave his life for us. He is the Lord. He will fulfill every promise that he made with the crossing of every T and the dotting of every I. I tell you, if he made it, it will come about. But there will be temptation. There will be temptation that the promise dies. There will be temptation you look and say, that wasn't God. But I'm telling you, lift up your head and believe that God has you in store, and he will fulfill everything. Joseph starts weeping. And then he returns to speak to them. And taking Simeon and binding him in their presence, he commanded his servants to fill their sacks with wheat and to put every man's money again in their sacks and to give them besides provisions on the way. And they did so. So they're stuffing the sacks with goods that they didn't take. But they, having loaded their donkeys with the corn, went their way. And one of them, opening his sack to give his beasts some food in the inn, saw the money in the sack's mouth, and said to his brethren, "My money is given me again. Behold, it is in the sack." And they were astonished and troubled, and said one to another, "What is this that God hath done upon us?" In other words, Joseph is going to think that they stole, but Joseph put it there. You understand? They don't know that. They don't know that. They don't know the story yet. They're just thinking that Joseph is the governor of Egypt, and he is. But Joseph is their brother, whom they do not recognize. I tell you, the same thing happened to Jesus. I tell you, the same thing happened to Jesus. He was led away to Calvary. He was crucified. He died and was buried. But on the third day he rose from the dead, and all the favor of God is upon Jesus. Jesus was sold into slavery just like Joseph. But I tell you, the favor of God is on Jesus, because Jesus is the Lord, because Jesus is God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Let me tell you, the Joseph story and the Jesus story intersect. They intersect. Joseph did nothing wrong and was put in prison. Jesus did nothing wrong but heal the sick and care for the poor and did the wonderful things, and he was put on a cross. My Lord, they both suffered for things they didn't do. They both suffered, but I'm telling you, the Lord was with Joseph, and I'm telling you that death could not hold Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And let me tell you, death cannot hold you either if you belong to Jesus, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so they take Simeon and bind him. And they, having loaded their donkeys with corn, went their way. And one of them, opening his sack to give his beast food in the inn, saw the money in the sack's mouth, and said to his brethren, "My money is given me again. Behold, it is in the sack." And they were astonished and troubled, and said to one another, "What is this that God hath done unto us?" And they came to Jacob their father in the land of Canaan, and they told him all the things that had befallen them, saying, "The Lord of the land spoke roughly to us and took us to be spies of the country. And we answered him, 'We are peaceable men, and we mean no plot. We are 12 brethren born of one father. One is not living. The youngest is with our father in the land of Canaan.' And he said to us, 'Hereby shall I know that you are peaceable men. Leave one of your brethren with me, and take necessary provisions for your houses, and go your ways. Leave Simeon with me, and go your ways back to Canaan, and bring back the youngest brother. And bring your youngest brother to me, that I may know you are not spies, and you may receive this man again that is kept in prison, and afterwards may have leave to buy what you will.' And when they had told this, they poured out the corn, and every man found his money tied in the mouth of the sack. All being astonished together, their father Jacob said, 'You have made me to be without children. Joseph is not living. Simeon is kept in bonds, and Benjamin you will take away. All these evils are fallen upon me.' And Reuben answered him Kill my two sons if I bring him not again to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will restore him to thee. Oh, yes. Reuben at least has some faith. He's the one that wanted to save Joseph. He says, you can kill my two sons if we don't bring back Benjamin. You can kill my two sons. We will bring him back. The father loves Benjamin. He is the youngest. He is the youngest of all of them. The father favored the youngest, but one is dead, Joseph, so they think, and the other is alive. Let me tell you, you might think that your word that God spoke to you is dead. You might think that God's word to you is dead. But I'm telling you, God's not dead, he's alive. I'm telling you, God's word is not dead, it's alive and active like a two-edged sword. I'm telling you, God's word is not dead, it is alive. And if God said this, I know he will do it. The Lord told me that he was going to send people from all around the country to me. And you know what? He has. All around the country. We have them from Ghana. We have them from India. We have them from the Holy Land. We have them from Italy. We have them from Nigeria. The Lord, see, we have them from Ethiopia. How do they come? People say, do you advertise for them? I advertise for nobody. I accept the ones that God sends me. How do they know to come to you? I have no idea. But the Lord said to me, he was going to bring me people and even priests from all around the world. And you know what? He has done that. His word is true. And I told you it started in Ethiopia. Some Ethiopian seminarians came, and the Lord wanted me to celebrate it with breakfast. And I was tired, and I said, I don't think so. But I did anyway. I celebrated their coming as the first ones with breakfast. And, you know, celebrate what I'm doing, the Lord says. Celebrate, not only praise, but celebrate it with an action. But he said, my son shall not go down with you. His brother is dead, and he is left alone. If any mischief befalls on him in the land to which you go, you will bring him down, my gray hairs, with sorrow to hell. And so they're going to take Benjamin, and the father doesn't like it at all. The father doesn't like it at all. I'm going to stop there. Tomorrow we'll start with the 43rd chapter. I want to stop there because I want to encourage you to continue to press in and to believe God. To continue to press in and to believe God, no matter what happens. No matter what happens. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on to the horns of the altar. Hold on. God is faithful, and he will do it. Hold on. Hold on. Don't look back. Nothing is back there. Take the word that God has given you. I will send an unprecedented outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Holy Rosary. He said that. I will send an unprecedented outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Holy Rosary. He said that. Tessa prayed the other night and said, it's not only about people here. It's about this place. God wants this place to be a place of vibrancy, a place where the Spirit of God works mightily. It's not only about people. It's about this place. And you know what? She's right on. She's right on. It's about this place. Why God would want to do it in this place, I have no idea. We're at the end of the world. People can't even find us when they're looking for us. But you know what? If that's what God says, that's what God says, and that's what he means. I remember the night when the Spirit of God was so real, and he said through me, I will send an unprecedented outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon this place. We have not yet seen that unprecedented mean like it never happened before. How can this be? Well, you know what? That, if that's what he said, that's what he'll do. But there's been a lot of jail time, a lot of bad times, a lot of fear, a lot of depression. but what God says he will do. God says he will do. God says that he will do, because you know what? Our God's alive. He's not dead. God is alive. He's not dead. God is alive. He's not dead. He fulfills every promise. God's alive. He's not dead. God is alive. He's not dead. God is alive. He's not dead. He fulfills every promise to the dotting of every I and the crossing of every T. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. And I do need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. It costs us almost $100,000 to be on WROL and WEZE. You can leave money on PayPal by going to www.inseason.net. www.inseason.net. And you can see us on the World Wide Web. www.inseason.net. Everything is free on the World Wide Web, that when there's talks and when there's television programs. www.inseason.net. Please, please, please send us a gift so that we can be solvent. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God's not dead. He's alive. And he fulfills every promise. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.